Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Anyway.
All right, so we had a recent poll asking people what their favorite game of all time was.
Yeah, we had a lot of responders. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, well, it was also an entry for a contest, too.
Yeah, but. Yeah. And it was the procrastinators we got today. We went from 36 to 50-something today.
As long as they're contributing, I'm all for it.
I'm the same way. I would have probably.
What did you guys notice about the list? Anything stuck out?
A lot of it was what I expected. I'm surprised that we didn't have as many repeats. I don't know if a single one of these was listed twice.
Yeah, we had a couple.
Binding of Isaac came up two or three times.
Half-Life 2 came up a couple times. CS:GO actually came up a couple times. I'm not surprised, but it's still a little shocking how first-person shooters are a lot of people's favorite games.
It's the home on the PC, or it's the.
For me, it's like part of my favorite game is more than just the act of the game. It's like I like the story and development and, you know, elements that change throughout my playtime, and I don't get a lot of that with, you know, Counter-Strike GO. Not to say it's not a great game, and I'm not.
Right,
telling people that it shouldn't be their favorite game of all time, but just for me personally, I would never put a first-person shooter because there just doesn't seem to be that story and character development that I.
I think first-person shooters do have story and character development. They always seem like the quintessential game. They try to be a balance of gameplay and narrative. So I think that's why people kind of default to them. Like when you talk about a game, I mean, Binding of Isaac. I mean, that seems weird to me that someone would pick that as their favorite because it feels like a Flash game. You know, it seems so simplistic, but I mean, not to say that it's not fun.
Not that Emilio hasn't put 400 hours into it.
And definitely not simplistic. Like, it changes all the time. At the beginning of my guide, that might come out at some point. I say that everything that I say is subject to change because the game can do anything that it wants at any point. So I'm just giving you general oversight of how to do things because that game... It can be completely different every time you play. It is. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. The randomness does that a lot too.
I was happy that there's a couple. There's a couple of my favorite on there. So, why am I drawing a blank on now?
There's a lot of games.
What's the game where you fight the aliens?
XCOM.
Yes, yeah, thank you. XCOM.
But it was the new XCOM that you haven't played it.
No. I know, but it's basically the same as the old one.
Yeah. BioShock 3 on there, I gotta say that is...
Only one more than World of Warcraft, which I was surprised about.
Yeah. WoW, definitely up there for me. Some of these games are really recent, too, and I have a tough time saying that anything that came out recently is my favorite game, just because, I don't know, I feel like it's got to earn its place.
Yeah.
You know, some time has to pass.
Plus, it's got to be from the 90s for it to really be
your
favorite.
I kind of wanted to switch it to Binding of Isaac, but... it's hard to remember how much you liked something way back when you haven't played it recently.
Yeah. You got to compare it somehow. Somebody put GoldenEye for the N64.
I respect that.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
That was a significant game back then.
So Emilio put his Fallout 3, which I disagree with. His favorite is Skyrim, even if he doesn't admit it. Yours is, Bobby, yours is Command & Conquer.
Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight. Yeah, and someone here put, JFK put Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast, which is the game after that. And here's the deal.
Why you're wrong.
No. This is why he's right, actually. This is the game you should play, because Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight is so old now that it's very difficult to get it to run correctly on newer operating systems.
Gotcha.
And the graphics are so bad. And even aside from all that, Jedi Outcast kind of cleaned up the whole force power system.
So why isn't this your favorite?
I have more of a personal attachment to the other one. Like, that was really the first game that I got into. I made maps for it. I made skins for it. I was all about that game. I actually made a map based on the Ministry of Love from the book 1984. It's still out there on Masasi.net, I think.
All these references, yeah, I don't know nothing. Any of them.
You guys never read that in high school, 1984?
Like the Big Brother?
The Ministry of... Yeah, Big Brother, exactly. Yeah. It's that. But the
were
Ministry
you cutting
of,
yourself during this? When you doing this kind of thing?
No, it's a great book. It's one of my favorite books. But the Ministry of Love is where they take you for re-education. You know?
Gotcha.
They, yeah, it's like the big scary place that people go in and they come out not quite the same.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I made a level off of that. But anyway, that I have a personal attachment to that game. But Jedi Outcast is the better game. And then Jedi Academy, which came out after that, kind of that's when it jumped the shark a little bit. It wasn't quite as good. But Jedi Outcast is a sweet spot. And I hear they're remaking this game. I don't know. I saw a PC Gamer article from like a year ago where not any developer, but just the community was trying to remake it. And it should be. This was such a good game.
Hmm. Didn't Good Old Games, all these games came out with Good Old Games, and then they support. Can't you run all that stuff?
You know what? That's a good point. If you do want to play Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, get it on GOG.com because it's compatible with Windows 8, Windows 7. They've done all the little patches and the bug fixes to get it to run correctly.
Well, they kind of have an emulator that runs, right?
I don't think it's actually an emulator. They do have a version of DOSBox that runs with a lot of these games, like Masters of Orion or Theme Park or something, if you get something really old. But with this one, no, I think they've just patched it and done a lot of community tweaks that make it compatible with these newer operating systems.
Chad, I think the reason that Skyrim isn't my favorite is because out of the box, I think Fallout 3 is a better game. Out of the box. The rest isn't from Bethesda, so if you're going to say the game itself, I'm going to say that one.
I can understand that. All I'm saying is your actions say Skyrim is your favorite.
Right.
Even if
I played it a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you even define, like, what's your favorite game? I mean, what are you basing it off of? It's kind of hard to define that. It's like, what would I recommend to other people? What do I personally find the funnest game?
When you wake up in the morning, it's the only thing you're thinking about?
What's the most addictive? Yeah.
No, for me, it's like, if I think of gaming, what is the one game I think of?
And so something that's representative of
of
PC gaming.
The purest fun I've had probably was XCOM for me.
And you still haven't played XCOM, which is crazy.
Because I played it when it came out originally.
The new one?
No, I mean the original one.
Oh, okay. The new one's pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't played any of the expansions.
That's like saying you don't drive a car because you already rode a bicycle before. It's completely different. It's way better.
I respectfully disagree. But let's pick a winner.
Yeah, all right. So we got, 54 entries. Minus 55 minus Emilio here.
Don't minus me. If I come up, we'll just do it again and make it easier.
So okay. He's pulling up the random number generator.
Yeah. Be entertaining for 2 seconds, Jeff.
Okay.
I should have had this up.
Yeah, you should have had this up. You
have arguing. But
Well, I mean, it's good that we were talking about old games there for a second with Jedi Knight.
Oh, that was what I wanted to bring up while you were talking about that. I downloaded Resident Evil, the remake of it, on the console, not on the PC, because I think that, you know, it's kind of made to be on the console, right? The original one. But I haven't played it yet, but I'm excited to, because I looked at the trailer, and the trailer kind of scared me already. just watching
Did
the
you
trailer.
Never play the original?
I never played the original.
Oh. See, me
I've
neither.
Seen clips and pieces of it. I know the dog thing that goes through the window, but that probably scared the hell out of me anyways.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if you really like that or not, because a lot of people are going to play it and love it just because they played it back in the day when it first came out, and there's a lot
56.
Of nostalgia. Is that our winner?
No.
That's how many entries we have.
Here we go.
All right.
Good luck, everybody. It's picking a number 1 through 56, and it has to think for 15 seconds.
I think it's my internet connection. I don't know what's good. It says LTE.
You aren't connected to the Wi-Fi?
No.
Let's troubleshoot this entirely while recording.
Come on, guys. Be entertaining while I watch this little thing go around and around.
Wow.
Okay.
You would have thought we would have had this set up before.
38.
Okay. Right. Congratulations.
Now we have to start counting.
No, it's got the number.
They're numbered here. Okay. Scrolling down.
There it is, right there.
Zordriak.
No, no, no. Oh, 38.
What are you doing?
Oh, that's 36. I'm sorry, false.
You better send him an emoticon.
C3CA Flab.
Congratulations. Yeah. And he had a good...
Team Fortress 2 was his favorite game, which I totally agree. And, you know, in some respects, that's my favorite game, too. That's probably the game that I think about the most.
Yeah. And you know what I was going to tell you, Jeff?
Where he's from? The fucking Vatican City.
I doubt that very much.
Okay.
But what was I going to say? Oh, you know how you were saying, like, a game with story and stuff? What you don't get in that you get in first, like, online gaming, like TF2, is exhilaration. Like, it's very rare that you feel that level of, like, anger. And, you know, when you're playing a paced game with a story and everything, it might be good and you might be enjoying it as you would a really good movie, but it's not a roller coaster. Well, yeah, it'll never be a roller coaster.
Yeah, TF2 is a constant rush of adrenaline.
It's the same reason why I like scripted TV shows compared to people that like reality TV. Is like, I like the quality and the thought process and the creativity of a crafted story of something that's created.
Throw some out there. Like, what are you talking about?
Like
games with stories that you like.
Oh, like I don't know. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Not even one.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
This is the kind of game I like. This is what makes a really good game. But you name one.
Like the Uncharted series. I had an awesome time playing.
Okay. Anyone on PC maybe?
Well, that was just off the top of my head.
Okay.
And they had fun multiplayer as well.
All right.
All right. Well, congratulations, Flab. We'll get in touch with you.
Yeah.
Ready to enjoy Evolve. Toxic. I don't even know if I spelt this right. There's a couple X's, a few K's. K's.
I think it's okay. Not KKK. Wow. It's just two K's.
Wow, okay. That looked bad.
Okay.
Three X's?
No, it's only two
one, X's, two K's.
One X. Who cares?
Okay.
All right. Okay. But it's first-person shooter.
Yeah, it's old school. It's Unreal Tournament, basically.
But it's also early access, so Bobby immediately is not interested.
Yeah, well, I saw early access. I'm like, all right, this sucks. But their box quote is frag like it's 1999, which sounds great to me. Those are my favorite games, arguably still are. Just that kind of Twitch gameplay I really enjoy.
How'd you do in this? I bet you owned in this game.
I did fairly well, but...
And complaining the whole time.
Because I got...
It's crazy. I've never heard a guy on a throne fucking complain about
continuously everything. Continuously getting my ass kicked in this game.
Well, here's the glaring issue with the game. There's only one level, one mode, same map, same guns, just everything is...
I think the early access was a little too early of access this one. Well, although we didn't have too many locks and issues... And the gameplay is smooth.
The graphics are good.
The graphics are decent already.
It plays the way they want it. It's playing fast. It's playing quick. It's playing smooth. But there's no problems, basically, except for lack of content.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? And what's funny is during the cutscenes between levels, they advertise these features.
like vehicles and...
Yeah, like vehicles and other maps and other buttons you can use, and none of it works, so it's
like watching a commercial for shit you can't buy.
Yeah, the load screen has eight different, like, locations, and you always go to the one location. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you really think, though, that more maps, more content is going to improve this game, or...
I think it is what it is, and if you're into those Twitch shooter-type games, then you're going to have fun with this. You're going to be bored after a while with that one map, but once they start putting more content...
And it's a hell of a map. I think it's really good.
It's got everything you need in that kind of map. Yeah. I'm just worried that maybe I've outgrown this type of gameplay, because Emilio and I played it for, an hour?
Yeah, about that.
About an hour, and I was like, all right, I can't do any more of this. You know, it was... we had pretty much tapped out on that, but...
I think gaming has gone past this, you know?
Yeah.
Although I have a feeling that this is what Bosky is working on, which is... Cliffy B's thing. I think he's kind of going towards something like that, but I don't, because he keeps talking about this game.
I did like that. I thought the range of weapons were decent. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of had a little bit for everybody, mm-hmm. and I did enjoy the fact that each gun has multiple
has an alternate
fire.
I was gonna tell Chad, maybe you shouldn't even install it, because I knew he was going to play it once and never play it again, because I knew he was going to rage right away, and he did. He logged off, and he even got up from his computer. He's like, I can't even game anymore. I can't even game anymore. Not this game. I'm going to go watch TV. I can't even game anymore.
In my defense, not really in my defense, but just to point out, did you guys run into the mouse issue like right off the bat? Like, I got in the game, and the mouse setting had been like turned all the way, like all the way up. So like, if you barely touch your mouse, you did like a 360.
Yeah. Well, I have my mouse on a really high sensitivity as it is. So yeah, I got in there and I just like flicked the mouse and it was like, boom, 360.
Yeah.
Not only that, but they had mouse acceleration enabled by default, which is the worst thing ever.
But then you can't change your mouse settings in the game.
No, you can't. If you hit escape in the game, it brings up a menu that says exit, yes or no. And that's it.
Well, not anymore. They changed it.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, so these are the big complaints from chat. There was a lot of complaints. But the three big ones were shotguns, OP.
Which it was.
Which it is. Can't go into options during the game. And mouse sensitivity options. And their patch today... those three things.
And the exact three things.
Like the three things he was complaining about. Well, he wrote an angry email.
I did. I got on my high horse.
But do you remember the initial problem that we had was we couldn't adjust the graphic, the resolution.
Yeah.
We had to go into...
I play on a shitty PC anyway, so maybe
maybe you just didn't even notice.
Everything looks like Minecraft.
Yeah, it looked awful, and we couldn't adjust the graphics settings, Emilio and I, and we tried to fix that, and it just wouldn't let us. It wouldn't let us use the little slider bar. We had to go into the configuration file, the INI file, and type in 1920 by 1080 or whatever our resolution was. Yeah, that was the only way I could get it to work.
That's funny.
So yeah, this is a really early access, but at least it's not open world survival crafting.
True.
Yeah.
And we also couldn't get groups together, right? One guy jumps in a game and then you find him on the server list.
Right.
And right now also there's not a lot of people playing.
There was only less than 10 people playing total, I think, or 15 people.
Yeah, you run into the same people, and nobody's playing squad deathmatch, so it's kind of hard to team up and be on the same team.
Oh, we did it for a little while.
But
it was an East Coast server, and so...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But anyway, I think that's...
And God, just a little bit of ping makes such a big difference in a game like this. As soon as we went to that East Coast server, if you're a half second too late, you're dead.
And we're running on this shit. Maybe now we're going to own face, dude.
Yep.
Oh, actually, my ping was about 30 higher than Bobby's at all times. So,
really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Just a quick little side note about this early access.
The game finally came out of
Emilio, early access. Emilio, told me that the...
Quest for Epic Loot.
Mighty Quest for Epic Loot.
Oh, that was early access?
Yeah. Finally went live to zero fanfare. Like it just points out one of these flaws on early access is like one of the things is the build up to the release of a game, and you just don't have that with the early access anymore. They've got our money already, so be it. But it's just like
it's not so much that the game was out there and playable for so long, but that game kept on popping up on the Steam banners and on the front page, and it had its moment in the spotlight. Now it's just, it's old news.
Yeah, so I find
it's on the
humorous
front page again.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, but if somebody missed it the first time, maybe it'll look more intriguing this time. I had fun with it. I was even thinking about jumping back in. Hmm. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much on my gaming plate right now, though.
There was some enjoyable parts to that game, for sure.
Yeah. So we already gave a copy of Toxic away on Twitter. We've been doing a lot of our giveaways on Twitter, so definitely follow us on that, DLGamingDOTnet. I don't know. I'm not going to recommend it, but I'm not going to say it's the worst thing ever. I will hop back in this game and play. What's that?
I mean, this was what?
$20?
Retail, $18.99, which I feel is way too high.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get all the content in less than 5 minutes.
Well, maybe the scope is going to be something really big, and we just don't know it. Maybe they're going to have 20 maps.
Well, they're going to have vehicles.
You know, maybe they've got to have all this thing that makes it a $20 game.
Okay, but DayZ said they were going to have vehicles like a year and a half ago. We have yet to see those.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Don't get hung up on the promises of early access.
Yes. Yes, I think we've...
Yeah. But I just like the quick, twitchy gameplay, and I could do that for 20 minutes. And like TF2, this is a game you can dip in, dip out real quick.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Sure. Not the worst thing in the world.
It's exhilarating. Yeah. When you're actually playing, it's exhilarating. If you die, it's not that big deal. You're yeah. right back in it.
Although they really need to shift the scoreboard to the tab key.
Oh, yeah. That's
like, how many times did you...
Killing me.
And it automatically brings up the chat at the end of the round, so... Yeah. Everyone just starts typing like D, 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 D.
Yeah. It looked like a bunch of noobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
On this real quick, do you think kids that didn't play these, you know, the Quake and the Dooms and the whatever, do you think they would find this enjoyable? Or
yeah, I think so.
You know, like part of our, once again, part of the fun of this is the nostalgia of the throwbacks to the Quake and the Dooms and all. Yeah.
You're talking about kids that are playing all the military shooters right
90s
now.
Kids that start really right. gaming in the 2000s.
But they're playing military shooters.
Yeah.
Now. I don't know.
I don't know.
Modern warfare.
I think they're going to have a tough time adapting. I don't think it's going to appeal to them as
it's
much.
It's a completely different kind of game.
Yeah.
Man. It's crazy.
There's kill streaks,
yeah.
like maps. There's no map on this game.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of the things that...
It's a hell of a lot less tactical.
Yeah. It's brain dead. Like, you just see the target and you try to shoot it in the face.
Running gun. Yeah. Running gun, yep.
Anyways.
All right. So, I have hardly been playing any games this week. Remember when I was...
It's 2 weeks in a row.
I know, man. Well, this week has been worse than last week. It has been so bad. So, again, I apologize if people have been messaging me and I haven't been responding much or even really playing a whole lot.
It's not like you have a PC gaming podcast or anything.
I know, right?
Seriously.
The only thing that I did get done this week is I finished Mysteries of the Sith.
What is this?
This is the expansion to my favorite game of all time, Jedi Knight, or Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight. Mysteries of the Sith was an expansion mostly meant for multiplayer stuff, but they did have a campaign on it, and I played through that, and gotta say, not as good as Dark Forces 2. But here's the thing that I want to talk about, and I want to know your guys' opinion on it. I got to the final boss fight, which is a lightsaber duel with Kyle Katarn. He goes to the dark side of the Force, and you got to fight him at the end. And I'm fighting this dude for like 15 minutes, I'd say. And I'm thinking, something's wrong. This can't be right. I'm missing something. I don't feel like I'm doing any damage. You know, I'm just going about this the wrong way. So I try all this different stuff. Nothing's working. Finally, I look up the walkthrough. And here's what it says. Straight up says, the guy who wrote the walkthrough says, I fought this dude for like 30 minutes, and then I realized there's a picture on the wall with a guy kneeling and his lightsaber on the floor. What you have to do is sheath your lightsaber and stand in this area and wait for him to attack you. So I did that, and then the cutscene goes, and Kyle says, oh, wait, no, I can't kill you. You know, like, oh, the good inside me is coming through, and...
Wow.
Yeah, that's the boss fight, dude. You fucking Ben Kenobi that shit. And like, first of all, how am I supposed to know that? They didn't allude to it anywhere else in the game. Second of all, that's not how a boss fight is supposed to be. Boss fight is supposed to be a final exam, like a test. You know, right. All the knowledge you've learned throughout the game, you apply to this boss fight.
Sure.
So I felt like it was a huge cop-out. Not so much with the story. Like, the story, whatever, I can deal with that. But, like, just mechanically as a game, I felt like it really didn't work. And it was the stupidest thing ever. And I realized I've never beat Mots before, Mysteries of the Sith. Like, I would have remembered this.
Right.
I guess I only did multiplayer on this. But I don't know. Do you guys agree?
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
I'm the type of kid that got pissed if we didn't have a final exam in a class because I wanted to, like...
That's the part you do good at.
Yeah. That's the point of learning is so I can apply it to something.
Applied knowledge, yeah. And that's what a boss fight is supposed to be. And boss fights are, you know, they're a fine art, really. You know, they're the best parts of some games.
That's like, goes back to the Deus Ex thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that where they outsource the boss fights.
Where they outsource the boss fights.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, I would be making a game for the boss fights. They tell, like...
Shadow Colossus.
They tell, like...
Only boss fights.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which was an amazing game, but... They tell, like, most writers, they tell you, write the last scene first and then figure out how to get to that scene.
Yeah.
Because that's the payoff. Like, the payoff is the last boss fight.
Yeah. Not really in line with that, but that reminded me of something I heard with all this Masters of Doom stuff I've been doing lately. I heard this, or John Romero had this quote when he was giving a speech to some people at a college and about game design. He said, make the later levels first, That way you get really good at it and you know how to make the first level when you finally do that last. Because the first level is the first thing that people see and it's their first impression of the game and you want that to be the best. So, you know, save that for later.
Huh.
I thought that was a really cool tip for game design.
That is cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I was totally disappointed in this boss fight. I couldn't believe it, man. I was like, holy shit, that is like the worst thing I've seen in a game in a long time. And I was really disappointed because... I mean, you know how I feel about these games.
Well, speaking of fighting bosses fucking for a long time, what about this goddamn Guardian fight we did in Divinity, dude?
Yeah.
Dude, I still think we did something wrong. There's no way that this game should expect you to fight this thing. It came into 45 minutes we were fighting it.
Yeah, 45 minutes, almost an hour we fought this boss in Divinity Original Sin.
It's from the ground up, to be a headache.
What was the name of the...
He's a Guardian.
He's just called the Guardian. He's in Hyberheim, frozen area.
And he's a Trent, or tree ant, however you want to say it. And so he's a tree, and so he has iron bark, I'm guessing. And you just cannot penetrate that stuff. Bobby, who usually does about 75 per hit, maybe 100 on crits, was doing one. One point of damage.
Are you serious?
This guy had so much armor.
He's got 2,700 health, and you're lucky if you can get double digits on attacks with him. And he doesn't do a lot of damage, so he's really not a threat.
Yeah.
You just have to sit there, and he runs, and he leaves ice trails that you slip and fall on if you chase him.
He fears you, too.
Oh, yeah.
So you can fear you into an ice thing. There was points where all four of us were laying on the ground, and he's just, like, running around the forest.
I liked him. Amir was talking about this today, and he's like, thank God one of us had blacksmithing because we broke our weapons. And I'm just picturing this fight happening in real life, and there's this guy with the anvil in the back just
hold on, guys. I gotta fucking build a kiln.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
So it's not, you guys fucked that up. You guys should look it up.
No, because I did this on my playthrough earlier, and I told him, I was like, this is gonna be a bitch, dude. And on my playthrough, I had a mage who, at the time, only did, water damage. So, and that heals him.
Oh, he's immune.
So I couldn't use the mage. So I had three people to do it with.
Was your mage at least a blacksmith so he could be healing?
I did have a blacksmith in the party.
Repairing shit.
Yeah.
I had a fire mage. I have fire magic and witchcraft, and neither one of those were doing anything to him. You would think fire, right?
I looked it up.
I researched it because I was like, this can't be right.
Yeah.
I went through that shit already, but I don't know. And I had a character in my party who could read strengths and weaknesses, and he had defenses in every line of magic, piercing, crushing.
But this isn't the last boss.
No. This is
Really easy. He's just time consuming.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is like maybe halfway through the game or so.
So was that acceptable?
Would you have rather had fought the guy with the lightsaber for 30 minutes than finally beat him?
No, because then you feel like you were let down.
There's a challenge there, you know, if like I actually had to fight the guy, not just...
Okay.
Wait, how are you staying alive for 15 minutes? So he's not very much of a threat either?
No, he was doing damage, but I...
healing yourself.
Yeah, I was healing myself, and he wasn't doing enough damage.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was completely uneventful. But yeah, that fight was pretty boring too with the Guardian, and I don't know. They should have made that a little bit shorter. I see where they were going with it. And
I was laughing at you falling on the ice way more than me.
Yeah, well, I had the melee. Well, I did have one range.
So anyway, that game's still great whenever we get time. We've had so little time to play, though.
Yeah. Got such a good game. One of these days, you're going to beat it, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to be
unless the last boss fight sucks.
Yeah, we got to lay down our weapons and fucking bend
over. Well, that's
over.
The thing. The fights in this game, like especially the boss fights, have been so good.
Yeah,
like they've been really challenging, and they've been like World of Warcraft boss fights where you got to learn the patterns and
Man, we were finding this ogre, and we fought ogres before, and I don't know what it was about this particular ogre or troll. But we couldn't figure out how to kill him, man. It took us way shorter time.
We played for like 2 hours, and we spent one of those hours fighting the troll and the other one fighting the Guardian.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Happened with the troll is we were shooting him, and he would we'd hit him with piercing weapons, and he would
bleed.
Blood
would come out, yeah.
He would bleed poison, and the poison would then heal him if he walked over it. So we had to do damage and then use an explosion to... explode the poison and evaporate it so he couldn't heal himself. And then we figured out we could freeze him so he couldn't walk around all over the poison and heal himself.
But here's the worst part. If you make him bleed and the acid hits the fire, it turns into mist and heals him no matter where he is. He doesn't even have to walk over it.
Yeah.
Wow. This game is designed so well.
Yeah, it's like a science class.
Yeah.
There's so much to figure out in that game, but that's what I like about it.
And eventually Bobby was, and this was brilliant, he's like, okay, let's just use what we know that works. I was like, okay. So like two of our guys just stopped hitting him completely, and we just focused on the weapons that we knew that wouldn't make him bleed, basically. And it wasn't crushing, it was just weird. Some would and some wouldn't.
Yeah, it was really strange.
Yeah, that part didn't make sense.
You got to think about all that stuff, and you may have a sword that has like a fire enchantment on it, and you got to be careful how you use that. Or like I had a bow that could proc electricity, and I didn't want to shoot people with it because it could electrify a puddle of water that an enemy was standing in and stun half my team. So
gotcha.
You really got to take a lot into account on that game.
It's great. I love that game.
It is very good.
So another game that I had a lot of fun with, I just got over Saints Row 4. I'm borrowing it from Bobby on the family sharing. I beat it in 2 days. I couldn't stop playing it. Towards the end, they got kind of, and I didn't do any side missions or anything. I was very focused. But they do a good job of you trying to unlock upgrades. You need cash, and in order to cash, you need to do side quests. So every once in a while, I would go do something so I could get enough money to do I really want to check this out, you know? But basically, let me bring it up real quick, what I wrote. Sorry.
So Saints Row 4, I know it has a lot more, like you were talking about swinging the dildo and stuff like that. Does it go more into sex than GTA?
You can bang anybody on your crew. Like, and there's a little bit of interaction that you have before then. I want to say that Saints Row, I don't think, gets enough credit. It's fun. It's just pure fun. Let me tell you how the pacing on this game works. Okay. The premise is that you're a gang leader and the Saints save the world. So they use that as platform to become president of the United States. 5 years into term, aliens attack and put you into the Matrix time simulation to torment you. That's the first 10 minutes. Like, that's their pacing. Yeah. All of that shit happens in, like, really quick cutscenes. And then, now here you go. Here's your playground. You're Neo from the Matrix, in a Matrix, and you're unlocking powers as you play. And so, by the end, you know, you're running at super speed, you got super jump, you can crush the ground, you can shoot ice beams, you can do all this stuff, but you're in a normal-ish type world. Like, gotcha. Nobody else has any of this. So it's pretty cool. And you keep jumping out. And I mean, it's really like the Matrix. You come out of the simulation. You're in a spaceship, which is hovering around the outside. So towards the end, I would say I got maybe the last 25% of it. I was just like, okay, I'm getting a little bored of this now. But then the dubstep gun was introduced. It's so fucking sick, dude. I got video of it. Maybe I should put that up now, too.
You should, because I'm curious.
So it's like, you're shooting it, so they put you in like...
You're going to do your best dubstep, right?
They put you in like Leave It to Beaver land, right? So it's black and white, and it's like old school, and everybody's like, how are you, Bob? Hey, Jim. And you come with your dubstep gun to kind of disrupt everything. So it's like, wah, 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 bah, 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 ah. But they're dancing to the beat. Like, it makes people dance... To the beat, like people that like the really good dubstep dancers, like that, and it's like awesome. You're like, this is fucking the coolest gun, and so I was having so much fun with that. And let's see, the other thing that I did, I don't know why I'm mentioning this, but there's all these weapons. I would say there's probably 20 to 25 weapons, but all I did was upgrade the shotgun maximum. So I wasn't even using my special. My shotgun was so good. I was just running around. I would use my super speed to run up to guys, shoot them. I beat the whole game with the shotgun, basically. The ending was ridiculous, too. The whole game's ridiculous. Like, they don't get credit because it's like the little brother of
Grand Theft Auto. Well, I think the first Saints Row tried to be GTA.
Right. And failed.
And people didn't want another GTA. So right. I think they just, the next one, they're like, fuck it. Let's just have fun.
Let's embrace. Well,
I think they were going off like the mod community too, because they were like, this is like GTA, but just with all the crazy mods people invented. You know, you can do whatever. We don't give a fuck. And that was the fun part about a lot of GTA games, is modding it and just flying around the city like you had superpowers.
Yeah, the GTA 5 mods are going to be sick.
Yeah. Right?
God.
But I hear so much about this game. I see so many screenshots posted.
It's your game.
So many people playing it. I know, right? Like, I have got to, this is one of those games that I have got to get to eventually, because it's got to be good.
Pretty good humor. I was laughing throughout the amount of, so here's a little story. You can customize your character anytime, because you can go into the plastic surgery and just make man, woman, skinny, fat, whatever you want to do. It doesn't really matter, because your name's Boss. They all call you Boss, so you don't even have a sex. It doesn't matter. Mm. So, so I'm spending like an exorbitant amount of time with making this chick as hot as I could, right? Because I was like this big buff dude. I was like, fuck this. I mean, if I'm going to be looking at somebody's ass, it's going to be a hot chick, right? So I'm working on this girl, trying to get her perfect, and I got this ridiculous outfit on her, and there's a slight scale for how big the boobs are. I'm trying to realize.
Let's be honest, you just cranked that one all the way up.
No, because there was a point where a diminishing returns, where like I don't think I'd be able to do backflips. So
some back problems.
Yeah. So then I do all this, and then I see a message in the bottom right, and I was like, oh fuck! I had Steam sharing on or streaming on, and people were watching, like me spend 5 minutes on boobs, basically. So then I
gotta get him just right.
I noticed it was Team Tom or whatever, or he was like the last one in. So then I went over and I was like, "Fuck!" I was like, "Crazy game, huh?" That's what I typed. And it said Team Tom logged off. Like I think his sensibilities were a challenge there.
Well, that happens a lot when we're playing, and I try to whoever I'm playing with.
Boob management?
Well, just like when I'm playing with other people and someone starts watching through the Steam sharing.
Yeah, so it pops up.
I try to mention it.
You get a little warning?
It'll always show in your top right corner. It'll show a little red recording sign and a number, and the number is how many people you have watching.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And a lot of people pop in, see what's up, and dip, but sometimes you get a little crowd watching, but you know, you could be playing with somebody else and they don't know, and they're going on about their personal life or something.
Yeah, right. So my credit card number is So Chad and I played some Smite today. It was really fun. I mean,
Once we got our router thing situated,
Season 2 is coming out soon, and they're reworking the whole game pretty much as far as conquest. There's just a lot of changes. If you're into Smite, you might want to read this, because there's going to be a lot of changes. The new map looks amazing. Can't wait for it to come out.
I think the most important thing, I mean, they're making some character tweaks, but the most important thing are the change to items, because they've like specifically made items that, you know, are going to change the power ranking of these different characters.
Yeah. Sometimes item change are more significant than character changes.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of things leaving, a lot of new things coming, new branches. Chad, maybe you can explain this to me. Some weapons only go to tier 2,
yeah,
and then that's it. So what's that mean? Just cheaper?
They're cheaper, but you can't rank them up any further. They're kind of like
short-term gains.
Yeah.
So you might sell it later.
Yeah, you might sell it later. Maybe it's 1,800 to buy that one instead of like 2,400 to buy a little.
Kind of like a starting item, maybe, or maybe if you're just not doing too well and you just need to come up quick.
I think one of the big changes in the Conquest map is they're changing buffs around. So they're removing the blue buff from the Hunter lane, and then they changed it with an attack speed buff, which right now is given like, I think, 50% attack speed or something like that.
Yeah.
But hunters with this buff late game are just owning people. It's making carries again, which I'm liking. But I'm not sure. The buff right now seems a little too strong, because it feels like hunters need to have that buff, especially late game. So we'll see. Yeah.
It seems like clearing is going to be more aiming based too.
Yeah, you know what I mean, they're trying to get less lane clearing that happens just like instantaneously, so they can be more fights for the lane clear and stuff.
More
like
action.
That. Yeah.
Well, overall, do you feel like, what direction is this headed into? Is this making it more appealing to new players, or is this catering to old players who need something new? Is it more complex?
Well, the map changes for sure is for new players, because you can see the Harpy. You can see the gold, what's it called? Gold Phoenix?
Gold Fury?
Gold Fury. You can see the Gold Fury fly around the map when she's about to spawn. And so people know when to collect and get ready for the Gold Fury. Yeah. Same thing with the Fire Giant. He announces, like, there's some kind of explosion. Yeah. And you can see, or smoke starts coming up. So, and so since you have these visual cues, it'll help new players a lot more. The jungle's kind of more open now. It feels more open.
Yeah, it does. And the lanes feel more open too, but Drybear swears that they're the same size.
Yeah, they look way bigger.
They look huge though.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, it upped the graphics on it, so new players that come into the game. I know a complaint that people have had when they tried playing this game new is that they just didn't like the look of the game, and so they're trying to improve the graphics of the look of.
They didn't think it looked good, or they just didn't like how it looked.
A lot of people, I've heard complaints that the poly count wasn't as high as other games that have coming out, because this game's been in development for a couple of years now.
Yeah, really needed this, and they did it. So, yeah. Well, next week, hopefully.
Yeah.
Very quickly, I beat the game, beat Binding of Isaac Rebirth with question mark guy. Fuck, I had 32 losses in a row trying to do this, and I finally got it done. I just had to mention it. Go ahead and try to do that. That's a rough one.
Who is the question mark guy?
He's the hardest one.
He starts with only blue
hearts.
Blue hearts.
So all the red hearts.
You can't get red hearts.
You can't get red hearts at all. No matter what, not even an item will let you get red hearts.
So when you get hit, you get hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to get blue hearts somehow.
Yeah.
Which I ended up getting a little dude that runs around and he picks up red hearts. And he throws out blue hearts. It's like exactly what he needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was playing some old games and I've had the swapper installed for a long time. So I finally sat down and played it. And it's a lot of fun, but the reason I'm bringing it up is it takes just a standard kind of puzzle game and puts this very atmospheric, very cool looking, very kind of dark and depressing story behind it, and it makes the game. The story and the atmosphere make the game. The puzzles are fun and challenging and
very
a lot of fun. But I think this wouldn't be half the game it is if it was just the puzzles. If you went from puzzle room to puzzle room, and there was no like talking rocks and stuff like that in this game, and it wasn't dark and depressing, and there wasn't like everything broken down. I don't think it would have been anywhere near.
The presentation is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think it points out a fact that you can take a good game and make it great by the presentation.
Yeah.
But you can't take a shitty game and make it. Like, you got to have the game first there.
The puzzles would have to be good, too.
This would have been a good game with just the puzzles and the mechanics. It turned it into a great game with all that other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You take it from like a 70 or an 80 and take it to an 80 or a 90.
Yeah, and I can't think of a game with more difficult puzzles, really, except for maybe the original Portal. There was a couple of those. But this one, there's one where I'm about to walk away from it because I don't know. I'm not like Bobby where I'm going to go look it up.
You know, I didn't have too much trouble with the swapper. There was only one that I really got stuck at and took me a long time to figure out.
Can you skip some, or do you need all the orbs? Do you know?
I think you can skip a few, but not very many, and only later in the game. Gotcha. But yeah, that's a great game, and all of us have played it now, but at different times. I played this, like, God, a year and a half ago? Long time ago.
Yeah, it's an older game, but I mean, if you can find this on sale.
It's been on the Humble Bundle a couple of times.
And oh, really?
It shows up for sale. Yeah, this is definitely one to grab.
Yeah. If you like puzzle games at all.
Yeah, it's like a 2D portal almost is how a lot of people have described it.
My lady is like, let's play the swapper. And I was like, we need another girl for that, babe. No, actually, we played it together, and you can because you're just working together and giving ideas of how to do things.
Yeah.
So cool. Like I was helping. No, I refused to help Chad today. Or he didn't want it, actually. All right.
Well, it's not the same if someone.
Did you want to talk Lara Croft?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Well, we played the new Lara Croft that came out last week?
I don't think it's on PC yet.
It's not?
I don't think so.
But
it is definitely going to come out. I'm pretty sure, anyway.
This is Temple of Osiris, right?
Yeah, so we played this is the top-down Lara Croft one. The original one was Guardian of the Light.
Yeah.
And Amelia and I had a blast playing the last one, so we booted this one up. So we did play this on console, so apologize if that offends anyone. But man, this has the right amount of puzzle to me, to action, to keep the pace moving. Like, I think they just get this one right. Who's the developer for this?
Developer is, scrolling down, Crystal Dynamics.
They just do a really good job with these ones. The last one and this one are both really, really well done. And highly recommend this game.
Yeah, I liked it a lot more than the first one.
Yeah.
It had a lot more mechanics to it. I was just having pure fun. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, it's on sale
right Chad, now. Which is usually, you know, rocky at best.
Is this like a gauntlet kind of game, like a top-down?
Way less focused on combat.
It's a more puzzle. Yeah. Than combat. Like, it'll be puzzle, and then guys will come out, you have to kill the guys, and then you get back into the puzzle.
Right. I mean, have we ever been in trouble as far as, like,
there's
getting
no, like,
beat up?
You don't run out of lives.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more about puzzles. It's kind of like a Portal 2 with a couple of bad guys thrown in, but the bosses have been fun, too. So.
And well-designed bosses.
And well-designed, yeah. Cool level design. They keep saying all these gods from Smite, which is funny.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We've seen Sobek and Osiris and...
I like how you think it's the gods from Smite. Like, that's the only place they exist.
It's funny that I was telling Chad that it's obviously public domain, because it's the oldest thing you could actually...
It falls under fair use.
Yeah. By a long shot.
We played this, about 4 hours today?
Yeah.
And we're about halfway through or so,
We had a pretty good pace.
8 to 10 hours.
It's not bad. Considering it's on sale for $6.79 right now, that's pretty good.
If you have somebody to play with, this game can you even play
it? Must buy, I would say.
For two-player we're talking here?
They've got up to four players.
Okay, four-player co-op.
But if you've got a buddy that you play with regularly...
That's $3.50 each, folks.
Yeah, you have to play this game. Yeah. It's a really good game.
You know, that reminds me, I'll throw this out here. I think I have an extra copy of the previous one that you mentioned,
Guardian Light.
Yeah. And I already have that game, so if anybody wants it, hit me up.
Cool. We do have a listener question this week. What is your favorite thing in gaming right now?
Favorite thing?
Yeah. Like, he was talking about, I forgot it, what he was saying.
Piece of technology?
No, like a mechanic. Or type of game
so not necessarily a game or
I shouldn't have dropped this on you guys like this.
No, I mean,
I should have waited for next week.
Okay, I think
for me, I'm gonna go ahead and say I like the way the pay model that Smite worked out, and I wish more games would do that. I think that free games, if done right, are awesome. You can get your player base huge. You can make tons of fucking money.
Yeah.
You don't have to rob or be disingenuous or be, you know, sneaky like all these little app games on cell phones are.
Yeah, you know? I think that is a good model to use, but it only works in very specific types of games. MOBAs work on that model because you have all those characters that people want. And on top of that, all the skins that people want. And, I mean, Smite's even gone beyond that and had ward skins, and you've got the portrait things, and you've got, like, they've got so many different little things that you can spend money on.
Well, it works in TF2 as well. They're still making tons of money.
Yeah.
And that's a first-person shooter. Although it's class-based, that helps.
So your favorite thing in gaming is a pay model right now?
I think so, yeah. I think it's exciting that...
Bobby's going to say early access. Watch this.
This is the worst thing in gaming right now. No, my favorite thing, I was going to say tactical turn-based combat, but we've talked so much about that. And actually, I think my favorite thing in gaming right now is just the emphasis on graphics. I feel like that's becoming more important recently. I feel like I need to upgrade my graphics card, and I got a beast of a card.
It seems like the last 2 years, there was no emphasis on graphics. Or yeah. Like maybe the 2 years before that.
Well, I think Chad mentioned before that... the consoles really drive it, and we had the consoles out for a year, so now we're starting to see the games with these really nice graphics, and that's bleeding over into the PC era. So like that's a new thing. I'm having trouble keeping up on some of these new games. I got to get a new graphics card, and I want to, because I love playing these games with just like the best graphics that you can get.
For sure.
I think for me, I think the advances in AI have been really cool. Like, we're starting to see games where AI reacts well. We're starting to see games where the player can do things, and the game will understand what the player is doing and will work accordingly with that. You know what I mean? Like, deformation of land that they do, that the game understands what the player is doing and doesn't break the game and will work with it. I'm starting to like some of the things there, because if we can get AI that works right, and we can get the game to understand what the player is doing better, then you can do some really amazing things. And so that's kind of like...
I'm telling you, all this stuff that we just mentioned is going to get better and better.
Yeah, AI has come a long way, too. I was playing Daikatana recently, which is notorious for terrible AI. Although the community patch 1.3 has fixed a ton of problems with it, but you lose all your saves. But the AI in that is so bad, and that used to be a big deal back then. The first time I was ever really blown away by AI, I remember it specifically, was Fear, the first one. And you fight against these guys who were in these dark outfits. You know, they're very scary looking. But I remember shooting at them, and they would duck behind cover, and one of them even yelled, "Fuck," like really loud, like, "Holy shit, we're under attack," you know, something like that. And I was like, damn. That's like exactly what somebody would do if they were getting shot at. Like, that's pretty cool. But yeah, AI does so much for immersion in a first-person shooter.
Can I change my answer? this focus on co-op lately is really cool too. Like, all these games, Far Cry 4, Dying Light, they're throwing in the co-op. They need to. They're great games without it. But there it is, and that's awesome. And all these little couch co-ops, like the one we played today. Yep.
It's almost like a game has to be co-op these days. Yeah. Like, if it's not co-op, it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. What? PC gamers have friends now?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Everybody's a PC gamer or a gamer. Yeah. Now, what would be great is cross-platforming co-op. If we could co-op with somebody that's on a PlayStation or something.
That does that exist? I think that exists with some games, doesn't it?
Like, it would have to be a very small, like, puzzle.
It's not going to work for Smite. I know Smite's console one's not going to be cross-platform.
Which I don't think it should be.
There are, I think, several games that go Xbox to PlayStation. Not very many. I mean, way more than anything with PC, but it is.
Well, you'd
what
think
it is.
Xbox to PC would happen, since it's the same company that's kind of doing both of them. Should we get into news?
We've got Besieged here. That's a new game that came out.
Okay, so Besieged is out, early access. It's got a really cool look to it.
The look is really...
Where it's almost like on a blue screen, where like the ground is just a flat blue, kind of like unfinished kind of look. And then it's got very detailed graphics of like a village or whatever. And the point of the game is to craft your siege engine, whose point is to destroy whatever is there. That's kind of the basic of it. So it's early access right now. It's available right now, and I really want to pick it up. I just haven't yet. But the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm seeing a ton of videos online, like clips and GIFs and videos of just people making the most ridiculous thing. Like, I saw one...
On Besieged. Oh, okay.
So
it's kind of like Robocraft.
Yeah,
though,
like
right?
It's Robocraft. Right, right. But you can make, like, machines, and you can... It, like... So there was one
moving
that
parts and shit.
There was one that was started flat, and it folded up, and it looked like a guy,
boxing or
what do you call it, on all fours, and the cannon is the guy's asshole. And he shoots this burning cannonball out of the ass and kills it. And there's another one I saw one that looks like a dude jacking off, but his his hand is the cannon. I've seen like flying ones that just fly up. But the reason I'm bringing this up is they're getting so much. Like, if you design a game and make it fun and make it enjoyable, we're at the point now where people are selling it themselves on, like, I want to play this game not because of anything they did,
right?
But because I'm seeing what the player base is doing and I'm responding to it. And I think that's something that can be used more and more these days just because of the immersion and the, you know, the social media aspect that we have now.
Yeah, it definitely applies to that.
Well, I think that's why they can say don't use any of our footage, but not. I don't think there's one developer that says don't use our footage.
Yeah, they usually encourage it, even in early access.
Yeah.
But anytime you give the player creative freedom like that, I love how it always goes to dicks and asses.
Yeah, first thing.
Yes, it does. Well, you should check out some of these besieged footage because it is fucking hilarious.
Well, that does remind me a lot of RoboCraft, like Emilio was saying. I remember playing that game and seeing some dude roll out with a really... It does not involve a dick and an ass, surprisingly. But he had recreated from Super Mario Bros., the little Koopa guy that sat in the cloud and floated along.
Yeah. Okay.
He had recreated that to
a
the
2D.
T. Yeah, 2D. It was like a walking billboard. Obviously, that's not very effective. He got blown up right away. But it's not like you can just build that, though. Like, he had to make sure that balanced correctly and that he could drive it and the steering would be okay. Like, all the physics went into it. But I just remember seeing this dude roll out with that. And everyone on the server was just like, that is fucking cool, dude.
Yeah,
there's no denying.
He probably got the dot matrix from somewhere, you know, some other program. But yeah, the balancing for sure. There's a lot of work that went into that.
I just remember in RoboCraft and me sitting down with him and Nick, and he's excited because he's making one, and I hear him laughing, and Nick's making one, and he's laughing, and we get into game, and they both made giant fucking dicks. One of them just flopped over, and you couldn't.
No, it turns into Homer Simpson doing his
performance issues,
like on his side, and he's going around. That's what Nick was doing.
All
right. Dildozer, that's what he called it.
The
Dildozer.
All right, what else happened?
Speaking of games.
Segway.
Yeah. No, I wanted to talk about this Take-Two CEO, Strauss Zelnick. So I think it's safe to say they're probably one of the top, easily, publishers that there are. And hopefully what he's saying... people listen to, because he's saying that you can't just come out with a new version every year like Ubisoft does and expect them to be all good. You know, you're gonna get bad ones. Just let them come out when they come out. Just because you have to quarterly hit all these numbers that you're that's the standard model. Every year you come out with some. He says it's okay with sports games, which is fine because they have to come out every year with all the changes. But as far as, you know, there's no GTA every year or anything like that. The games come out when they're ready. And this is one of the industry leaders saying this. So hopefully Ubisoft takes a look at this and a few of the other developers that are just pumping out shit after you get to part 5, part 6.
Mm-hmm. See, I always felt that was done just for financial reasons, though. Like, it's just a successful business model. So, I don't know. I mean, from the consumer perspective, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. You know, give us quality. It doesn't matter how long it takes or when it comes out. But I don't know if that's really going to be advice that other people heed. I mean, if you can make more money than by putting, you know, just shoveling out another copy of something,
right.
I don't see what's going to keep them from doing that.
Well, they have the best selling game of all time. So, there's that. And if you look at, it's probably not going to change anything, but at least they came out and said it. Blizzard does it this way, but they don't come out and say it. And Apple does it this way, but they don't come out and say it. You know, it comes out when it comes out. I'm just glad he came out and said it.
Yeah. I think a little bit of it, to me, it's a little bit like, you know, it's like saying the top person in the world is like, oh, why don't you just do it like I do? But they're the top person. They're one of the top developers in the world. Like, they can say this, and it works for them.
Oh, right.
Maybe Ubisoft doesn't have the best or whatever. Right. So in order for them to be competitive, they have to release more product.
And some other people, just to keep their head above water, they probably have to do it every
year. Yeah, it's like...
But I think what he's saying is, ultimately, you'll be doing better if you do it our way. And I'm not calling them the top, but they might be the top because they have, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to me, also, the other way is a little bit like cooking the golden goose. Like, like Assassin's Creed, for example. Let's find something that is successful, and we'll just beat it down until it's no longer profitable anymore, and then we're going to jump the shark to something else and beat that down until it's over.
I mean, Black Flag was good, but Unity wasn't. And the one before Black Flag wasn't very good, but the one before that was.
Yeah.
So you could have skipped those two titles, probably saved money on all the development, but they still made money on it.
Well, you got to understand how the development teams work in Ubisoft, too. They've got, like, different studios that do it, so... The ones that are really well done is their primary studios, and the ones that are not a lot of times get shifted off to their secondary studios.
They got one in Montreal and one in France, right?
And they closed down a couple.
Huh. Yeah, there was some famous quote from a couple years ago by, I think it was the CEO of Activision, Bobby Kotick, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. But he said the exact opposite. He said, flat out, I'm not interested in anything that isn't a franchise. Right. That's all he wants to do is just remake Call of Duty for years and years. And that's originally why a lot of those guys left and formed Respawn, because they didn't want to do the same shit over and over again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's totally what we want as a consumer, but I don't know. It's really hard to argue against money.
Are we willing to wait like Half-Life 3? I mean, is this...
Yeah, that's the reason, or not Half-Life 3, but Bioshock 3. That's why Ken Levine disbanded the team after that, because they just... couldn't make games like that anymore. Like, it's hard for a medium studio.
I think there's an extreme the other way, too. Like, a game that just never comes out because they're concerned with getting it right that it's death by perfection. Like, you just keep trying to get it right. And sometimes you just got to get it good enough and then get it out, you know? Like, I love everything that Valve does and all, but, I mean, I'm a little bit... sick of this whole Half-Life 3 thing. It's just, you know, let's just do it and let's get it done with.
If you have any feelings on this, look up Half-Life 3 unannounced. It's a very somber look at what Gordon Freeman's been doing since he's been waiting.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. It's really well done.
Oh, man. That ship has sailed for me. I do not care about Half-Life 3 anymore.
I really don't care.
Yeah, and that's my whole point. Like, Take-Two's point is they don't need to be annualized, but I think the other side is just as important as, you know, like, you have to get games out at some point or else it's even worse, you know?
Yeah. Yep. All right, so should we talk about what we got coming up next week?
Yeah, I bought Mordheim, City of the Damned. This is another turn-based combat, which is what sold me initially because, man, we'd love that right now. And, but the graphics are probably the best looking graphics I've seen on any turn-based strategy game. And it's also, I think it's flirting or it takes source material from the Warhammer series, but it doesn't say that outright.
Hmm.
So it has all like the Sisters of Mercy and all these like crazy different factions. I love that shit. It looks gorgeous. I can't wait to play it.
I'm glad to hear the graphics are good on that, because I feel like it's a cop-out with a lot of these developers. It's like, well, it's a turn-based tactical. Yeah. You know, it's not about the graphics. Right. We don't really need good graphics.
Speaking of that, have you guys seen the one that's actually from Gaming Workshop or whatever?
Games Workshop?
Yeah, it's called Warhammer, like, Warhammer something, right? It has a name.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, another Warhammer game. Let me click on it. And I was like, oh, awesome. So it's a turn-based strategy, but they start on a chessboard. And, it's not a chessboard exactly, because there's like cover and stuff on the chessboard, but there are squares and you go up and they fight. It's kind of like chess, but it's kind of like battle chess, it looks like, but it looks way more intense than battle chess. It looks awesome. You have all your pawns and shit, but I keep saying it's like chess, but it's not like chess because that's what it looks like. But all the death animations and kill, it looks fucking sweet. It looks really cool. Not as cool as Mordheim though. Mordheim graphically takes the cake.
Nice.
So I'm probably going to be playing Evolve. I know that you guys probably aren't buying it.
Shit, if you buy it.
But, I mean...
It should have a four-pack, right?
Yeah, it should.
Yeah.
So, that's probably what I'm playing next week.
Hmm. Oh, but you have it, right?
No. I mean, yeah, but I'm going to play it on PC.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about save that money and you upgrade your rig? And your mouse. And your chair and your desk. Bobby, have you... What did you say? It looked like we went back 20 years when he walked into Chad's room.
Yeah, I'm a getting 90s gamer. Right there.
Keeping it old school.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to get into next year. Yeah. Hopefully something.
Yeah. Another week of Bobby saying, I had no time to play games.
Are you going
to
be
No, prepared? Actually, I've got a four-day weekend coming up, so I'm going to get in some serious gaming. Don't know what yet. And I also, you know, tax return came in, so I'm not flat broke. Dude, this last month, I felt like I was in high school. I was been so fucking broke. But, yeah, good times are upon me once again. So getting into something, we'll see what that is. I want to thank everybody that left a review. I think we got two new reviews on iTunes. Thank you so much for that. That is awesome.
Are we doing this right now?
Yeah, I was working my way towards
that.
Okay. Yeah, but I want to encourage anyone else out there. If you haven't left a review, leave a review on iTunes. That enters you for the review giveaways that we're going to be doing periodically. One review and you're entered for life.
I think the next one's going to be a big one too.
Right.
So. How many? What's our number? What do we got down there?
Right. Let's see. We've got 14 people here.
All right.
Yeah. But there was more, wasn't there?
No, we've got a bunch of ratings, but the actual reviews.
Oh.
Yeah, and plus you left a review, so I'm not counting you.
Oh, man.
Okay. But we're giving away
Evolve.
Well, no, we're giving away the Hunter, the Hunter Primal.
The Hunter Primal.
A hunting sim.
14. Put it in.
Okay, here 14. We go. 14. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck. Here we go.
10.
Lizbell. All right, cool. Dude.
Oh, Lizbell. We don't have to figure out who that is.
Yeah, we know him. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be able to tear himself away from EVE Online.
Yeah, if he doesn't want it, we'll just re-roll it or whatever. All right. him designate.
Yeah, he can give it away.
No, he might dig
Did
it.
Did you want a shout-out?
Okay. Oh, yeah, I want to shout-out to someone took me up on my offer last week, Masters of Doom, the audiobook. Shout-out to Skydiver. If anyone else wants that, let me know. That is such a good book. I cannot recommend that highly enough. You'll probably hear me mentioning
it. Okay, Bobby, Jesus Christ, it's good.
I've been saying the same thing for like the last 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Masters of Doom. Is it a game? No.
Oh, dude, but it's PC gaming history right there. And I got
see this guy smile.
Yeah, rarely.
He smiles every time.
Rarely. Yeah.
Well, I got a new audiobook, too. I don't know if it's going to be as good, but it's like the history of video games. Just a very general thing, but we'll see if that's good, too.
Cool.
I think he's dressing his lady up like Carmack at nighttime right now.
That would be creepy.
That's creepy.
He would not make a good-looking lady.
All right.
Are we done?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucking did I!